The Last Lone American Night by Wheel Covered in Eyes, a Homestuck fanfic, read by
Compass Rose,
Wilfriede 0815,
Tipsy Kitty,
Amy Unchan,
and Jack's Long Coat. Tags include Dirk Strider and Roxy Lalonde, Dirk Strider and Calliope, pre-canon, canon compliant, angst with a happy ending, suicide attempt, suicidal thoughts, self-hatred, self-harm, dissociation, child abandonment, isolation, first meetings, first contact, world building, banter, Rainbow Dash as minor character, Dirk Strider is a plural system, autoresponder Lil Hal is briefly here in very early prototype stage. Chapter 1. A drone bouncing off a satellite. Dirk writes the message a month before he sends it. He'd kind of meant to deliver it that night, like, it's more poetic. You stay up all night writing your magnum opus, and then you perform it in the dawn's light. But he'd ended up thinking about the Faraday firewall and realizing that even though he'd solidly cracked a hole in it, he hadn't actually brought the whole thing down. His radio signal might only transmit unidirectionally, or at least be significantly weakened in other directions. He's not a radio expert, but that just makes sense. He'd realized it while he was already up the antenna, fiddling with connection points, and curses himself up and down. He almost electrocutes himself on the transmission current, but notices and avoids it smoothly as he depowers the whole thing. How had he not thought of that before now? It wouldn't be a slam dunk in the whole plan, but it reduces the number of possible observers. And it's less elegant, which, fuck it, elegance is the point of this whole last hurrah, right? So he climbs back down to destroy the firewall. He'd been up there long enough to get cold in the dawn wind, and he thinks, fuck, fine, I'll just chill for a second first. And then the sun is setting through the windows, and he's huddled under the dining table wrapped in a blanket. His hands are moist, which, gross. He crawls out straight to the computer, where his prepared broadcast has been deleted. There's nonsense typed into the terminal. Amateur. Dirk clears the nonsense and loads a saved copy from the automatic backup. Whoa, Dirk! A friendly voice cuts through his thoughts, a mix of concern and forced casualness. That was seriously messed up. You okay? Shut up, Rainbow Dash, Dirk tells her. He has this vague memory of being harassed as he climbed the tower the night before. Well, some pony's got a dark cloud hanging over his head. And, hey, Dirk, knock it off. And, okay, you're sad, but you don't have to be stupid about it. Eventually, he'd gotten fed up and made a concerted effort to completely obliterate her from his mind by force of will. It had worked for the night, but not permanently, because why would it have? He should probably apologize for trying to obliterate her. He acknowledges this would be polite of him. I don't want to talk about it. Come on, Dirk. Keeping it all bottled up is seriously unawesome. Spit it out already. No. Fuck off. Rainbow Dash leaves him alone. Still, the whole thing sours his mood. He holds off a little. He goes fishing the next day. A storm rolls in and he stays inside anyhow and programs Sawtooth so he can juggle four balls instead of three. He kinda knows it when he's found the last thing holding him back. He was tidying shit up and happened to poke some parts for the network that he hasn't poked before, and finds it. Years and years of footage from the cameras in the apartment. Like baby photos, except instead of a saccharine or stately or ironic, neatly curated album of Polaroids, it's a complete goddamn baby museum. It's been clogging up the servers for years. Training data, Dirk knows immediately. The robots, the chassis he upgraded into Sawtooth and Squarewave, the various lesser nursing bots and arms he's repurposed or thrown into the sea. Well, they had to learn, didn't they? They had to recognize where in the room he was, where his mouth and hands were. They had to recognize him as he grew. His behavior patterns, when he was hungry or sick or whatever the hell else you need to know about babies. When he was about to fall out of open windows or chew on live wires. They needed a lot of training data. He doesn't know why it was never deleted. Why bother, maybe. If his brother could build an apartment that could stand in the sea for 400 years without rusting away to nothing, he could afford all the solid-state drives he wanted. Dirk has no clue how he never found this before now. He assumed those bulky files were just, like, lifetime instructions for the robots or whatever. Which, he supposes, they were. He just didn't expect to find himself in there. In the final week, folded over in his desk chair, he watches these videos for hours. He can't see all of them. That would literally take more lifetimes than he's lived. So he zooms around and curates them instead. He feels a burning, unbearable enmity towards the idiot child starring in them. With half an hour of making a script to speed up the search process and then searching, he pinpoints what he's pretty sure is his first steps and finds he hates the baby Dirk for teetering on his own, before stumbling into Cal's floppy arms while robots light up and make positive reward chiptune noises in the background. He watches himself cry with the refined eye of a disappointed art critic, first a lot as a baby, and then less and less but more loathsomely as the child becomes more conscious and recognizable. The child cries over stupid things, a jellyfish sting, a fever, a broken robot, nothing in particular. On the floor, into his arms, into Cal, curling into corners and under things, sometimes for hours. Some of it he remembers, a lot of it he doesn't. It doesn't really matter. Every new thing he learns about himself from the videos is further evidence that he was right about all of it. He hates the babbling baby in a way people aren't supposed to hate babies. He hates the bumbling toddler, hates the soft-faced young kid with the garbled half-speech that still makes sense to him now, but that he later spent a long time training himself out of. Now he can talk movie star cool when he feels like it, although, as with everything else, that turned out to be personal development to no real end. He hates the 8- or 9-year-old fishing and humming to himself, the 10- and 11-year-olds assembling servos and watching TV and repeating the good lines out loud. He almost has one moment of respect at the Dirk of last month for climbing the tower, but he knows the ending, or most of it, and that's the worst thing he's done yet. Climbing down, cold, then babbling and snotty-nosed and trying to walk it back. You dumb shit, he tells himself. Pussy, stick the landing. He deletes all of it. Dirk nukes that shitty kid off the face of the planet. He overwrites the folder so that he can't come back later and undo it, not that he thinks that's going to happen. Then he searches every system in the apartment he knows of for backups, easy now because there aren't that many places to hide terabytes and terabytes of MP4s. There aren't any backups. It's clean. He's really relieved after that, kind of floaty. If the Condes' drones are curious enough to search this place, they'll know he was there, but at least they won't see that. They'll only see what he's left them. Dirk Strider's first and final broadcast, the place he makes his stand. He feels good now. He boots up the recorded message into the transmission tower, then cracks a can of orange soda and looks for satellites amid all the stars. He waits for a while in case something tries to stop him, like a message from his bro to autoplay after the deletion of the files. Just in case. It's happened before, but it doesn't now. As the messages have told him before, his bro wasn't omniscient. All of his bro's direct messages have a consistent theme of, stay strong, you got this, stay alive. But Dave Strider was never known for the surface layer. Bro's other works, the ones that got him famous that other people actually saw, had all sorts of messages and motifs, about things like irony and sticking it to common sense and viva la revolution and the unbearable life-changing sublimity of sick, cool stunts. For a long time, Dirk had felt like he'd be disappointing his brother by doing what he's about to do, just noping out. But it's since set in that Dirk's bro is as far gone as those stars are or will be, just another cool guy like all the billions of dead cool and uncool guys at the bottom of the sea. Coolest guy in the bone heap. Dirk pours one out for him, and by pouring one out he means he throws a mostly empty soda can into the ocean. The broadcast goes something like this. Howdy. I'm the last living human being. You, by which I mean, I assume, sundry drone servants of Her Imperial Condescension, though on the off chance you're wacky space alien archaeologists or some other faction/species who really had no hand in this, I apologize for the tone of this message in advance. You ran everyone else off for a few hundred years. but you didn't get me. Please, hold your applause. I'm sure you have questions. Well, I've made it up until now on the tail end of frankly batshit convoluted schemes and technologies, all of which you may explore by tearing the origin of this signal to sea level. You'll find your answers there. I don't think any of it's going to blow your mind. My ancestors didn't have secret neutron cores or quantum magics. They don't have a planet bomb primed and ready to go. They just had the best they could do and bent it towards secrecy and a completely insane goal that wasn't part of your threat model, so it drifted under your radar. Until now. And I guess that goal was me. But I don't have anything for you. The way I see it, my existence is the end of a long joke that my brother played on you, and arguably all of humanity played on itself, an act of defiance that would trigger long after his death. So, hey, good to meet you. I'm the punchline. Check this. Hey, little piece of feedback. You made the internet really shitty. Why'd you have to do that? Clean up after yourself. I did. Have some decorum. Speaking of which, I guess you, whoever's reading this, if you have, like, feelings, I admit I'm curious what you'll make of this. Obviously, I hope you're annoyed. But you wanted all humans dead, and you're getting all humans dead. It'd be pretty dumb to get hung up on who killed who, and I wager you don't get this kind of successful planet-owning tyranny by chasing grudges over results. Maybe, and I'm just thinking out loud here, you'll just be kind of irritated you hadn't actually succeeded an eon ago like you thought. Just like, whoa, how'd that happen? Fortunately, at the end of the day, I don't give a shit what you think. This is for me. Dirk out. When sunrise breaks, he flips the transmitter on. The connection point makes some sparks as it starts transmitting, and something starts sparking further up the tower too, because everything that can corrode out here is corroding. Then Dirk climbs back up to the crow's nest of the radio tower. His hands are almost shaking because the signal is going out, even though he can't hear it. It's out there. He unfolds and tunes his solar-powered radio, and sure enough, there's his voice, rehearsed but still, like, reedy and shitty, and no question he hates that guy, but he's also kind of proud of him, a little tender. We're doing it, bro. We're making it happen. He waits. The sun creeps a little higher into the sky. The cold oceanic night warms a little. Dirk doesn't feel anything. Maybe a little hungry, because he hasn't eaten in the past couple days, but nothing else. Mid-sentence, the voice on the radio changes. Dirk jumps so bad he almost falls off the tower.
Hello. If you are not an Imperial drone, etc., and are some kind of human or otherwise non-Imperial person being out there, go to A. If you are an Imperial drone, go to B.
What the fuck? What? Says Dirk, out loud in his shitty thin voice. That's how messed up he is by this. That's how out of model it is to him, because he thinks maybe this text-to-speech voice on the other end of the radio can hear him. It can't. It's a fucking radio transmission. But it is talking to him.
A. You are putting yourself in serious trouble. Stop what you are doing. If you can, reconfigure your antennae to emit 0.5 megahertz random noise at, like, 4 kilowatt. Start ASAP and diminish strength over next 10 hours. This will throw idiot drones off. If you can't, don't worry, I'll do my best. Do not send anything else. This is not an automatic message. I am a real person. But sheesh, you need to be careful. If you want to talk, keep monitoring this frequency. Plus, if you have web-connected device, then keep it online. Do not change setting, i.e. don't touch that dial. Also, do not try to contact me. I will contact you. Will probs take me a few days, but might be longer. B, kill yourself. Heart. TG.
The message does not repeat. Dirk has his hands to mouth, sideways on the crow's nest, making some kind of noise. His heart has stopped in his chest. He is going to choke to death well before anything comes of any of this. The wind is perfectly silent. What the literal fuck is the only cogent thought he can think? Even that, barely. Unable to think or hear anything at all, Dirk climbs down the tower. He stops the broadcast. He goes inside to write a white noise program that will broadcast on its own and diminish automatically over the next 10 hours, as instructed. Then, because he can feel everything starting to slip, he starts writing down exactly what the response transmission said, as well as he remembers it. Almost before he can finish, he's gone. But he surfaces a while later, headachy and hands a little cut up from fishing line and belly full, and the message still in his terminal. Despite this being direct evidence to the contrary, Dirk wonders if he has finally lost it. Full, persistent, palpable hallucinations. That would be new. And if so, if some quiet but devious part of himself actually objects to the whole final broadcast thing strongly enough to step in, but only at the last moment. Hey, asshat, why didn't you come to the meetings? He checks his logs. Note to self. If you are going to make a habit of aborted suicide attempts, consider the virtues of going quietly, suddenly, in the middle of life as normal. I'm to understand it was very popular on old Earth, considered very masculine. Just up and go. Don't tell the wife, don't tell the kids. Be halfway through your daily routine and just go, fuck this shit, I'm out. Now note, through your daily routine, as in, keep doing your daily routine. I'm not saying don't do the last hurrah. I love the last hurrah. Shit owns. And obviously I don't give a fuck about the baby pics. What I'm saying is, don't eat everything in the fridge before you off yourself. Because if you fail or a fucking miracle happens or whatever, then fishing and hauling up water for the solar still is even more laborious and obnoxious than usual when your body can barely walk. Okay? Do you get it? Also, you need to go fishing again. Dirk out. After that, there are a few unimportant outputs from the Dirkov chain. The Stridoracle declares,
"There's been a kind of stopped mattering."
The Stridoracle declares,
"People's lives are on the hapless. Shit's practically axiomatic. You don't mind."
The Stridoracle declares,
"If you ever stop to think, I'm saying is you still don't actually know what you're thinking, remember?"
Dirk sighs. He scrolls up and carefully rereads his recollection of the strange transmission and builds a timeline in his mind. He accounts for extra time because humans are known to routinely underestimate the length of time projects take. Then he schedules a notification in his calendar for 2 months out. After that, reluctantly and at great personal cost, Dirk goes fishing. One of the ways in which Dirk is fucked up to a degree that he can never pinpoint via internet diagnosis is that he doesn't have regular dreams, like, at all. The first fucked up thing is that every dream he's ever had takes place in a red room the size and layout of his house. The second fucked up thing is that when he's there, he doesn't hate it. In fact, even awake, he spaces out imagining it. By all rights, it should be skull-numbingly boring. It's emptier than his bedroom, even. It is unequivocally a flaw that his one supposed escape is another stale copy of the only place he's ever known. But it's peaceful, kind of, he guesses. His head is quiet there. Fucked up. Medically speaking, when Dirk's looked this up, he reads that sometimes people dream of the same things over and over as a response to trauma. And then he stops reading that because he's already a grade-A scholar on wire mothers and how fundamentally broken and insubstantial he is as a human being, how impoverished his psychic imagery is. All of that he knows acutely. But even for, like, the traumatized, he thinks there's supposed to be variety. The surprise nightly return to the worst thing that ever happened to you is supposed to be a standout. Otherwise, why would you keep being surprised? Plus, as mentioned, it's nice up there. The bed's comfy. He never has to eat or do laundry. Cal's there. He just looks out the window there and sees a real skyline. The best sense he can make of it is Jungian, that it's his conception of Houston back when it was inhabited. Maybe some kind of fossilized childhood version, because he's seen plenty of photos of the Houston skyline, not to mention submerged, gutted architecture, and it obviously wasn't this. The architecture in the dream is stylistically Seussian. Dim and red, but clear enough to see everywhere, despite the absence of any sun or moon or large-scale lighting. jaggedy in stone and stripy, gothic but ornamented beyond the point of utility. It's inhabited, too. Little scribble-looking people go around their business. He watches them like slow, angular shoals of fish or cellular automata, their inscrutable lives. The windows are open, simple, unbarred, but he's never tried to leave the red room. He doesn't know why. He's pretty out of it when he's in there, and he's just never bothered. It's kind of evidence that his dream self is dogshit, too, like that if he somehow lived in actual Houston and those were real people, if the world were at his fingertips, he'd still spend all his time isolated in his apartment. Not even building cool robots or anything, but just lounging in the bed blinking at monochrome skyscrapers and people walking to work. In the red room, even when he thinks about jumping out the window, instead of actually doing it or even leaning out, he slumps against the window frame and dozes. His eyes and thoughts blur into nothing. And if he's lucky, he gets to stay there for a while before he wakes up in a tower in the ocean. The day after receiving that message, at the start of that two-month-long timer, he starts spending a lot of time in that red room, imagined, dreaming, drifting in the mindless embrace of that far-off red world. Soon, even the sleepy red dream of Houston starts to take on some of his desperation, the realization that he will never want to live anywhere. 1 week out, Dirk cannot believe he thought he could hold out this long. He's an idiot who got too optimistic. He's never going to make this mistake again. 2.5 weeks out, his computer sends some sort of notification about networks that he's never seen before and that quickly deletes itself. Dirk sits at the computer and does not look away. 2.5 weeks and 3 hours out, a message writes itself into Dirk's open terminal before his doubting eyes. Chapter 2. A World with Some Soul. Two and a half weeks and 3 hours out, a message writes itself into Dirk's open terminal before his doubting eyes.
Okay, think I got it. Connections secured, etc. locked down tighter than our appropriate analogy. So, you read me?
Hello. I'm not going to lie. This is the scariest thing that's ever happened to me.
LMAO, tell me about it. You are a slippery one, Mr. Radio Guy, which is good for you, Opt. Kisses.
Are you TG?
Yeah. Smile emoji. You can call me Roxy.
Hi, Roxy. I'm Dirk.
Grin emoji. Hi, Dirk. ASL?
12M Lone Apartment Building Rising Over the Sunken Guts of Houston, Texas. You?
12F Carpace Colony Floating in the... still the Gulf Stream, my IRC.
Are they really the same age? Dirk's probability distribution that this entity is lying to him is completely bimodal. Either this is an advanced ruse to unknown ends, or there is another human being alive out there who has no reason to lie to him. His hands are shaking. Are there more of you?
People? No. Sad emoji. But there's Carapace. Are you alone, too?
Yes. Completely.
Oh. Sad emoji. I'm sorry.
I'm not convinced you're not part of my imagination, that I'm talking to myself in a more elaborate fashion than usual and haven't figured it out yet.
LMAO, yeah, mood, word, etc. Should I try to say something you wouldn't think so you're like, oh shit, a human guy?
Well, surely you'd be a human girl.
Surprise emoji! You have passed the first of my CAPTCHAs 3!
Haha. I'm having trouble coming up with something, honestly. I'm pretty good at pulling the wool over my own eyes. Like, if I'm like, say something ridiculous or whatever, and you say something ridiculous, well, I just told you what I was hoping for.
Okay, well, maybe I can tell you how I'm contacting you. Since you don't know how that, and you can props verify it, and then you'll believe me.
How's them apples?
Dubious but tempting. I'll hear you out. TG explains to him how she hijacked the radio wave detection of a series of drones, since they use it for medium-range communication. They have human speech pattern detectors at some level, but it only detects relatively clear signals. They would have to be close by, unless there were a higher sensitivity sweep, which TG figures might be performed sometimes but not often. She, meanwhile, has her own similar algorithm running on all signals. She ends up listening to snippets of a lot of garbage that happens to trigger it, plus sometimes the condescension will blabber into an open channel for a while for reasons of her own. Dirk's voice was the only other one she's ever heard.
So, I was like, oh shit, gotta find this dude. So I found two drones were kind of matching waveforms. Even my algorithm wouldn't have triggered the other one, but once I kind of knew the shape, I could search for that. And did a little triangulation, and then it was just a matter of port guessing, slash guessing how you might be net connected.
Yeah, how did you do that? I only have read access to the internet.
Yeah, so that's not really a thing. I mean, I did too, but you gotta get with the times, Mr. Dirk. Look, like, when you want to look at shitty imperial clickbait or old memes, you go to... Okay, I don't know where you go. But you go to, like, reddit.com archive or some such. Right?
Right.
Right, so you're still sending information to a server, which is what you would do if you were posting there, too.
Okay, but there is a difference, because I can do that, but literally cannot, like, interact with the sites at that point.
Yeah, that's because of the firewall. But I'm saying that because the premise is bad, it is a bad firewall. Wink. I will show you a way around it.
They talk for hours. Dirk is terrified that if he lets her go to sleep, he'll wake up in the morning and his terminal will be blank. None of this will have happened. He wakes up. It's still there. Blearily, he says hi and are you still alive, and Roxy says LMFAO, yes, she wasn't even going to ask, is that fucked up of her, just in case it wasn't real. Dirk says no, that's fair too. He stays at his desk all day, leaving only to refill the solar still or shower, waiting for her to reheat food or ward off carapaces getting rowdy around her house. She walks him through jailbreaking his network, then gives him a bunch of InfoSec procedures, because the kitty locks are now kind of off this network, and there are Imperial crawlers still checking the old fossilized internet. Dirk copies these down on paper in block letters and sticks them by his computer, because he doesn't think he'd forget, but sometimes he surprises himself with how much of a dipshit he is. He then adds some extra local credential steps to activate write access too, while he talks to Roxy, for extra security. He doesn't explain what he's doing. He doesn't write these down. Finally, Roxy downloads him a chat client called PesterChum. This is a lot easier for her and less invasive for him than writing in his terminal. Also, it'll be easier to convince himself on a visceral level that it's not just him writing to himself. She tells him to pick a color and a fun handle. When he freezes up, she says to pick something with the initials TT. She says it'll be cool. She says it'll make sense later. Dirk has never been completely in someone else's hands before. Not once. He does everything she says. Timaeus testified TT sent Tipsy Nostalgic TG a chum request. Tipsy Nostalgic TG accepted your chum request. Timaeus testified TT began pestering Tipsy Nostalgic TG. Like this?
Exactly. Grinmoji.
To show off the many capabilities of PesterChum, not that she couldn't have just put this in one of his directories before, Roxy sends him a selfie. Dirk opens it. He doesn't know what to make of it, emotionally, of further incontrovertible proof of life. She's another kid with pale hair waving at the webcam in bad lighting. He tells her she looks like a movie star. She LMAOs. She says all he's seen is movies. Which isn't quite true, Dirk's seen a lot of random selfies and candid photos on the internet, but it's true enough that he's embarrassed. And that's new, the embarrassment. He's shamed himself plenty, but never in front of someone else. It's worse, scary with uncertainty, like a crab clawing in his guts. but he plays it cool, and Roxy also seems really flattered that he would say it at all. Dirk wills himself to breathe. It's suddenly hitting how out of control he is. He wouldn't have it any other way, and it is terrifying to look at. Roxy demands he sends a selfie too. He can't refuse her. After considering, he strikes a pose in front of one of the corner cameras, then goes to the output and picks a screenshot out of it. He tries not to think too hard about it, because he knows he can have a million thoughts on what that guy in the picture looks like, but he doesn't want to keep Roxy waiting. The enormity of faith is new to him. He wonders if it's going to be like this from here on out, if he should be so lucky. Roxy goes OMG. She says he looks so cute. And the yawning fear recedes, tidily, a little. Every day after that is the start of something new. Dirk tunes in one day to himself in the shower. He turns the water off. There's fresh fish fillets from something pretty hefty on the counter, and he doesn't know how long it's been. He checks the terminal, and apparently a few hours ago, oh, Jesus. Apparently, a few hours ago, he had this long, weepy exchange with Roxy where he told her that he loved her and he's so glad she found him and he was so scared. Jesus Christ. He keeps reading. Roxy, for what it's worth, responded with an apparent grace and compassion and sharing some of the same feelings. So it's better than it could have been, except that she had to do all this reassuring, and what else would you say anyhow, and there were a lot of heart emojis exchanged, and he has no idea how to handle this. He steams the fish fillets on autopilot while his head is swirling with stress. Afterward, still too worried to actually eat it, but a little settled, he sits down. Hey, Roxy. Sorry for dumping that on you earlier. I wasn't thinking straight and got kind of emotional. I mean it. I am actually that glad to know you. It's kind of everything. I just wouldn't have said it like that, if I were thinking. So if you want to keep the positive sentiment and maybe forget the details of the declaration, that would be great, for my dignity. Her response is only seconds delayed. He imagines her hearing the notification, running from another part of the room. It's what he would do.
Dirk, don't apologize. It was really nice. I was like, oh shit, cool kid with tough exterior has cracked like an egg in the face of my charms. Knew it. But not in a bad way. I wasn't going to tease you or anything. But if you want to scoop the egg bits back up, put it in the eggshell, my lips sealed. But for what it's worth, it was nice to hear you say, smile emoji.
Well, I imagine maybe I got something off my chest by saying it. So, thank you.
Heart.
Heart.
I've never actually had an egg. I mean, I know what they are. I know the egg lore.
I have. Sometimes seagulls lay them on the roof.
You eat their babies? How are they?
They talk until late again, and Dirk's stomach unclenches, and he climbs down off of his bad, steep high into something new and comfortable and a little mindless.
Whoa, says Rainbow Dash. She's great. She's so cool.
Dirk imagines her rolling and kicking her hooves in the air, wings flapping haplessly. Yeah, says Dirk. Yeah, I think she's pretty cool, too.
What you up to, Distry?
Hey, Roxy. Distribution? District?
No, like Dirk Strider. Distry. It's a thing. Don't chat.
I believe you. That's a thing. No further questions. I finally fixed Sawtooth up so he can go fishing for me again. I'm pretty jazzed. Jesus, Dick, but I do not like fishing.
LOL, nice! 1 million fish for you. Zero works. I'm chillin'. I found a blog by this cryptography nerd in like 2000. So I was reading that, kind of all day. Pretty good. He put jokes in it. Brushing up on my calls.
Nice.
Hey, so I was thinking about your network restrictions.
Yeah?
They were the same as mine.
That makes sense.
Okay, but hear me out. Does it?
Does it?
Now you are asking the right questions. Wink, grin emoji. Okay, what I mean is, that's not a common thing everyone was doing back in the day. Everyone and their mom like, hey man, let's make a robust client-side protocol so our kids can look at the internet but not upload shit, even if the internet looks totally different. Like, there were child locks. No prawns for you, darling, innocent BB, but nothing like what we had. But ours were the same as each other's. Dirk?
Yeah?
Do you think our parents knew each other?
Okay, I know you know new isn't spelled like that.
Catch me looking through the streets with a lantern for a man who gives a shit. That's right, I read the Wikipedia page on multiple old Greek dudes.
You know, pain me as it does to say it, and after you went to such great lengths to interface with me on my level, behold, it's literally 100% of men and they give a shit.
It doesn't pain you. You love to say that.
I do. I love it. Now that you mention it, shit, they might have. FYI, I don't really consider him my father. I call him my bro. I don't know where I got that from in the first place, but it's kind of cemented in my head now.
Yeah, guardian, excuse me. You have it one way in your head, and you're like, oh, surely everyone in this sitch thinks about it exactly the same way you do.
It's not a problem. Just saying. I don't know a lot about him. I mean, I have all of his public output, of which there was a great deal, and he left me messages and stuff. But I don't know about his plans, I suppose. How and why did he build this place for a baby centuries in the future? I mean, we're exactly the same age. Like, wait, okay, did you have the robots? Like mechanical arms that would clean you off and stuff?
Yeah! There's a room in the basement where I guess I grew up. Arms on some of the wall and sort of a mobile tracking unit. And I could reach a Frankenstein lab of toys and just vending machine of pre-sealed milk bottles. I looked at their specs once and they knew how to, like, do surgery. Thank God I never needed that. Can you fucking imagine? LOL. Like, I still spend time there, but I ain't never heard of such a thing on the webs or movies or etc. Or come to think of it, autoplaying movies for your baby for hours a day so they have something to imprint on. But that's easy. The surgery robot sitters is something else entirely.
Yes, right? People were documenting everything at that point in time, but all of this happened in secrecy? It kind of makes sense that they would have needed help. I have no reason to think my bro was a roboticist or even particularly a tech guy. But he got stuff done, at least?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I once found exactly where my house was in Old Houston. And I looked up land rights and stuff, and my brother had this building extensively renovated in the O-10s. And I can't find anything on what was changed on the web, but I looked up the brand name on the struts and they're this wildly expensive, hyper-resilient nickel alloy used in spaceships to preserve the support struts of this one mediocre high-rise apartment building. Why?
Yeah, I want to say my mom could have been the tech one, but that doesn't sound quite right. She was an author, but a polymath too, and had all these papers, but in like weird fields. She didn't leave me much either. Direct guidance, mostly her long-ass wizard fic and an array of stuff she was into. Occult history and information theory, IDK. I guess she could have.
You think there were other people helping?
Well, I am just thinking aloud here. But that makes sense. It can't have been that many, or else someone would have spilled the beans.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think that maybe, like, there were a few different people who did all this crazy stuff just so we'd stay alive. Rooting for our very own you and I. Huh. IDK, it's just cool to imagine. Dirk?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah, so I have calendar reminders through that. And then I type stuff into it, like reminders to myself or whatever. That's saved as .txt, but I interact with it through the command line too. But then the Stride Oracle dumps in there every couple hours, and all of the robot statuses output through there too, so it's a little chatty even if nobody's there.
Cute, but hey, TF is a Stride Oracle. Dirk, did you build a robot that sees the future? You have to tell me if you can see the future. It's the law.
No, the Stride Oracle is a dumb programming project I did last year. I wanted to try making a thing to talk to, so I made a Markov chain bot.
Shock, Moji.
I wanted the first version to sound like a character from a show I like, so I transcribed all her dialogue from a bunch of episodes because I didn't think to look for existing transcripts, but, like, whatever.
You tried making a girlfriend! LMAO!
Is it better or worse if I say she is also a cartoon horse?
Steeples fingers. Proceed.
Well, obviously, I don't know if you've played with Markov chain text, but all the sentences are weird nonsense, and the whole thing just felt kind of wrong. But then I was like, wait, you know who has files and files of text data? You know what would be really funny?
LMAO!
Do you want to meet him?
LMAO! Yes! How do I say hi?
Well, he's not very good at actually interacting, so I figure I'll spin you up some choice Dirkisms and we can pretend he's the world's least conversationally adept, clinically insane weirdo. I'll do batches of five and pick the one that seems grammatically closest to an appropriate answer.
LMAO. Hello, Mr. Stride Oracle. Please bless me with your choice wisdoms.
Here, let me do it like...
It seems there is only horror.
God damn.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little on the nose.
Do you live like this?
You mean me or the bot?
Ops, the bot. R.I.P. Distry, but the bot's my new BFF.
I'm always authorized to speak of the world's population to a clean computer, not any one thing.
Authorized by whomst, Mr. Markov?
As long as I am scared.
Fear, we love to see it. Do you like me, Mr. Stride Oracle? What is your impression?
You think literally every sage warning we've ever received about those furries was gay as hell.
Huh?
Look, sometimes all five options are pretty bad.
Not what I was hawing about.
Oh. Well. Do you have anything else to say to it?
Okay, well, what do you think of Dirk?
Not compete with them or try to pull that off. I would love to have a specific and unsettling result, let alone be able to survive here.
Yeah?
Can we both exist in the abyss?
Damn, and what do you think about that?
I have yet to be a really good dude.
Okay, well, I think that's enough of that.
Got a little too real there, huh?
Nothing it says is real. All it does is slam grammar and syntax together at high speeds. No semantics, just some antics.
Well, I like him. Thanks for showing me your nonsense nothing bot. He's fun.
Do you want one?
LOL, have you?
I was thinking of you.
Hee sure.
I'll send you my code. You'll just need a big .txt of context.
You know... If you want to make a chatbot with semantics, you should look into large language models. The things they used to write all that jacked up shit that clogged up the internet. Except, like, you can make your own corpus or whatever that sucks less and have it say whatever instead of writing 1 trillion fake essays on the virtues of celibacy.
Huh. Interesting.
I'll send you some PDFs. You'll need a lot of processing power for training, but running it after is easier. I got some ideas on piggybacking drone pewters for processors, if you need it. Easy speedy. Just gotta get them to talk to each other.
Roxy, hijacking a bunch of murder drones for their compute is a buck-fucking-wild idea. But, as a wise woman once said, Steepel's fingers, I'm listening.
Grinmoji. Hey, Dirk.
Yeah?
Do you think the Condesha is alone, too?
Like, metaphorically?
No, literally.
I have no idea. What makes you think that?
Well, so a lot of the larger drones have faster-than-light capabilities. Superc communication, pronounced like Superc. Jot that down.
I'm jotting it down.
So I think they have Superc comms so they can communicate with Homeworld way out in space, or other space bases, maybe. The smaller drones coordinate fine without them, so they don't need it solar system side. But they never use them. Like, not once in all my watch and stargazing days have I seen a drone or satellite fire off an FTL signal out of the solar system. So I'm thinking, maybe they don't have anyone left to talk to.
Huh.
Because the Kandesha is out there somewhere, and we can tell from all the spamaganda that she's talking up like continuing her great empire, etc., whatever. Or that she was. But we don't really have anything new from her after that.
I figured she must have other trolls for, like, serving her or carrying out her commands, even if the grunt work is mostly automated. But now that you mention it, I don't know if that's true.
Well, there could be other trolls somewheres or other. But the Empire is kaput. That's my theory, anyhow.
I guess. Given her whole thing, I'd think she'd want to find and establish dominion over any remaining members of her species. She doesn't really seem like the kind of witch who goes rogue or leaves survivors. Present company notwithstanding.
LOL. Yeah, skeptmoji.
I hope you're not feeling sympathetic to her.
Oh, hell no. She can go fuck herself. I hope she dies alone. Also, like, if she's all by herself, it's probably her fault. I bet she blew him up or whatever. Or ate him.
Troilant Green.
L-M-A-O.
God, imagine if she is, though, and she's in this dumb empire for nobody and there's, like, three people alive tops.
L-M-F-A-O.
And on the radio, these words are said. My name is Condescension, Queen of Life. Look on these works, ye ape beasts, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Midst the silence, from that colossal land, the other two survivors roll their eyes and go, shut up already, holy shit, what a bitch.
LMFAO. I'm crying, OMG. Dirk! Do you know what this means?
What does this mean?
Humanity outnumbers her. We're winning. We're winning, Dirk.
Dirk is laughing so hard he can't breathe. He thinks, delirious and unable to put it into context, but sure that it's true, that this is as good as it possibly gets, better than he ever knew.
Dirk, my friendo, I've been holding out on you. I have a secret I have kept from you, but it's not bad for you. In fact, it's good, and I had a be good reason for not saying shit earlier.
Dirk is, like, 70% sure this is the start of some kind of companionable joke, the setup to which is designed to get his goat, and 30%, oh Jesus, he is terrified, his goat is got already. He tells himself she said it was good. All right. Well, don't keep a bro hanging. What is it?
I have a third friend.
Start talking.
Hello, Mayo. Okay. I don't know her name, but she's awesome.
How did you find her? Or did she find you?
Okay, so this might not make much sense. It's hard to explain or even, like, understand what happened, even though I guess I could recount the steps. Just hear me out, okay?
Dirk would slit his own throat if she asked him to. Yeah, of course. I'm listening.
Oh, shit. Casual Dirk is here now. We know this shit's legit. So, a few months ago, I was really sad. Like, thinking about my mom and how the chess guys weren't really like family to me. And I spent all this time looking at parts of the internet and scouring radio waves and monitoring transmissions and shit. And I told myself it was to keep an eye on what they were doing. Like, don't try anything, you sticky bitch. But really, it was because I wanted someone to answer.
Roxy.
Destry, I love you, but SDF you and let me get this out. I was realizing that nobody ever would answer. That even if I lived to be 100 and then I saw someone and you fucking IDK tweet, like, Hey, guys, just woke up from cryosleep. Where is everyone? What's with all the clickbait? LOL. And I could reach out to them. Then it would be worth it. I would hold out for that. But when I think of all those 100 years of listening to signal static just for nothing to ever break through, no Mr. Randossical thawing out, no nothing, well, those years start looking like kind of a bad deal. Kind of not worth sticking around for. Now, obvs, I'm remembering this now and being like, even if the rest of the story I'm about to tell you didn't ever happen, I'd be like, Roxy, you chump, stick it out for a few more months. You are gonna be fine, girl. There's a guy out there trying to find you and everything's gonna change. Obvs, heart. But I didn't know that then.
Yeah.
And I'd been listening for a long time and had no reason to expect anyone ever would. In a way that's not either of our faults, just how it happened timing-wise. YKWIM. I mean, can you imagine? Wait, TFMI saying? Don't imagine that. Shit's darker than a barrel of drowned monkeys. Little scratch marks in the wood.
Yeah. Jesus.
But in any case, none of that ever happened, because I'm sitting looking at my inner tubes fucked up on forsakenness, just lost in the desperate sauce. And I'd been studying the drone protocols for a while, so I'd had this idea for a trans-temporal networking protocol, and I was like, fuck it. Wrote the program. It was not good for it to work. Both parties would need the protocol. Like, I configured it to work for standard chat client, but I could not figure out a way around the protocol thing. Sad emoji. I was thinking about ways to shoot it backwards in time through. I think you could do it. The bigger drones have FTL communication capacity.
Superc?
Yeah. Do a little math. And you could string time travel out of that. No problemo.
Hey, what the fuck? Dirk thinks.
So I was mulling it over, planning to, like, hack a million drones to do something really drastic.
Oh, shit.
Well, don't get too impressed, because the protocol would have doxed me straight up. Like, even if I figured out how to send it to the old internet or something, that was kind of the plan.
Yeah, that... Yeah, I figured.
I had the program written and was swirling around thinking about that and everything. Didn't know if I had another miracle in me. Like, real sad. But then, on my client, I got a message.
What?
I got a chat request from an alien. She's a troll, but not with the Kandesha. And she'd been watching me through some kind of feed, but she didn't know how to talk to me until she saw my protocol. Then she wrote it on her end, and she could.
She was watching you? How?
Yeah, she doesn't know how, just that she has feeds. A little video, a little audio, and no, it's not through drones. It's a whole own thing. And like, TBQH, she doesn't have much to do. I think she's alone, like us. That's why I was saying I think the Empire is dead, but not every troll. Because she is 100% not with the Kandesha.
I don't think adding more percents makes the number bigger.
No, each percent represents 2 decimal places, so every wide-eyed, crickety, slanty, owl-looking guy's represents 100-fold increase in precision. Representing how sure I am. Keep up, Dirk!
I'm sorry I doubted you.
She wants to talk to you, too.
Really?
Yeah, dummy. She can see you too, but she didn't know how to say hi. She didn't have your hookups. But I do. Wink emoji. And I wanted to, like, see that both of you were cool with it and wait for her to be around. She's AFK for a long time sometimes. And there's the really crazy part.
What?
I guess her terminal has the SIS info of some people from the past. And she's not time-anchored. The system she's in, That's like, okay, fuck if I know what it's like. I have no idea. I assume it's running through time shenanigans like the FTL comms. But however she's got it, she used my protocol, hooked me up with a couple of people in old Earth 400 or so years ago.
Which two people? You've talked to them?
Don't get your hopes up. Nobody we know or ever heard of. But yeah, for about 3 months now. They're our age. They're nice. You're gonna like them, Dirk.
Dirk starts typing, then deletes it, then types, then deletes. Yes, I want to talk to her.
Yeah, I figured. Hang on. I got you.
I know you do. I trust you. Uranian Umbra, UU, sent Timaeus Testified, TT, a chum request. Chapter 3. A Million Different Voices Speaking in Tongues. Hi. Are you Roxy's friend?
Yes, you're Dirk. I'm so glad to finally meet you.
Me too. Roxy says you're cool, although I admit I'm still very confused about who you are.
That's very nice of her. Aww. And also fair on your part. I am something of an outcast. Via mechanisms unknown to me, I am able to view the lives of a few humans via a program on my desktop. Until rather recently, I despaired of ever actually making contact with any of you. Though I despaired in your troubles and took joy in your triumphs and appreciated the small but meaningful look into the lives of these alien kids, I simply had no way to reach out.
Until Roxy's program.
Just so. What a surprise that was. I had hoped only that one day she would find a way to contact you, only in my wildest dreams would she have found a way to reach out to me. And of course, once she had, I was sure that getting her program to you would only be a matter of time, and how lucky we are that she did.
Wait. How much can you see?
Well, the feeds are not reliable, and I'm not always at hand, so by no means everything. And I have tried to avoid spying on any particularly, private moments. But, rather a great deal.
Holy shit.
Hence why, well, suffice to say I'm really glad to meet you alive and well.
Thanks. I don't know how to respond to that.
Alas, I note again that my customs are not human customs, and so please forgive me if I ever say anything off color. I promise, I do not mean to offend.
Oh, hell nah, you're doing fine. A, it's not like I've had much immersion in human customs either. B, honestly, even that, I don't know that that's an alien thing. If my computer inexplicably was configured to let me just, like, watch some people, no way in hell I wouldn't keep an eye on them, like my own little Sims. Like, let's see where this is going.
Sims?
It's this game, https://web.archive.org/web/20240194305/https://n.wikipedia.org/wiki/the_sims.
Yes, not unlike that. Although I have less excuse since I have been well aware that you are all thinking, feeling people.
I imagine that adds to the appeal. It would to me, I mean.
Indubitably.
So, what do you think of her?
You?
Who else, numbnuts?
Whoa, calm down. Roxy, I don't know. I'm still, like, very confused and kind of reeling about whatever the hell is happening. But she's kind of great.
Grinmoji. Grinmoji. Grinmoji.
Grin.
Grinmoji.
Yu-Yu, Dirk learns, has a brother. She rarely sees him and spends most of her time trying to avoid him. It strikes Dirk as terrifically karmically unjust. But even then he knows he's not supposed to complain about that, not to her, that it wouldn't be cool. So he exercises a great deal of mental energy to be cool and understanding, until the hot, angry jealousy tempers into a cooler observation that the universe is cruel and hateful. By that point, he's glad he waited. He's glad he didn't say anything stupid. I don't know, honestly. Like, I used to think that I was here for some purpose, but now I'm like, okay, that was a fat load of rationalization.
But your brother arranged for your survival in the present, did he not?
Yeah, but like, there's something a film director 400 years ago thought would be important, and there's cosmic fucking destiny, and there's a lot of space between those two in terms of magnitude. It is weird that the other human alive out here is Rox, who's such a badass that she can outthink an alien empire and wire all of us together. That's my answer, actually. Obviously, I'll make a boat and get to her. I mean, my life is happening right now. Technical adulthood isn't going to change anything. I can't be living for that. We're two random-ass humans that time forgot, and we have to figure out what happens next.
Oh, I thought you knew. Dirk, you do have a cosmic destiny.
You have my full attention.
This is not something I can explain fully at the present time. But yes, there is something special about you and Roxy.
Can you tell me why you can't say more? I mean, anything at all. It sounds like you have restrictions there too. But anything at all. I mean, you have to get how frustrating this is.
I really do. Oh. I suppose I can say that there are multiple compelling reasons, and it does pain me very much. One of them is temporal.
Right. Rolal mentioned you weren't quite in our time stream. Well, I can't recall exactly how she put it. She also mentioned that time travel was possible, which was, like, news to me, shit. So you don't want to cause devastating time paradoxes or something by influencing our actions?
Just so.
But there's not such a thing as a major or minor paradox, right? Butterfly wings and all that jazz. Shouldn't any change to the past be somehow catastrophic, if any of it is?
You might think so, but no, it really depends. And it will eventually matter even less.
It sounds like we're counting down to a specific point in time. At which point things will change, so maybe we'll be removed from the main timeline or something.
Dirk, please understand. When I say there are things I cannot elaborate upon, I mean it. I'm exposing myself to danger. If you pry, the safest recourse for both of us will be for me to stop talking to you. I will do this if I must to keep us safe, but I do not wish to. Dirk, you must know that I live a solitary existence, and not by choice. I would really enjoy having another friendly person to talk to. As long as you wish it, in any case.
That's fair, I guess. I'm going to keep being curious, and I can't promise I'll never try and get information from you, but I will try not to push you on things you can't tell me. Okay, I have one question, and it's kind of a big one, but it's been weighing on me since we started talking, and I can tell it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life if I don't hear what you have to say.
Just one?
Yeah, promise.
All right.
Are we in a simulation? Are you, like, the puppet master of our simulation, where AI is running in your computer program or anything like that? I guess I mean to ask, are we real?
Oh, yes. Both of us are completely real, so far as I'm privy to know.
Huh. Okay. Okay, that... I kind of didn't expect you to answer that, to be honest. Roxy said you had other friends that you could introduce us to.
Ah, yes, I do. And I will. But I do not want to overwhelm you. We both have plenty of time, after all.
What? I'm doing great.
Are you sure?
Dirk wonders how she thinks she knows that, then remembers she can see him, maybe, and zooms out and takes a look at himself, too. His legs are drawn to his chest, tight as a crab, and his hands are shaking over the keys. The moment he unfolds his legs and drops them to the floor, White fog surrounds his vision, and he feels nauseous.
Dirk?
Yeah, okay. Maybe let's give it a few.
Of course. I imagine having all this flung at you is a little overwhelming. I at least have had the luxury of time to process.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why it would be. I type shit and read shit at the computer every day. It's not like a materially new thing is happening to me.
But the immaterial is just as important. Perhaps more so. Huh?
Perhaps. Can you tell me something else about yourself? Doesn't have to be nothing hardcore. Just anything. About you as a person or whatever.
I like to draw.
No shit? Me too. Digital?
I usually use pencils or pastels, but I like to experiment.
Once, Yu-Yu asks him why he locks himself out of his computer sometimes. Dirk loses his shit immediately because, oh wait, shit, she can see him. At least sometimes she can. She knows how dysfunctional he is constantly. While he spirals, she asks if that's, like, a regular human thing. Dirk writes, stalling, I don't know, is it a regular troll thing? After a moment.
Well, I wouldn't say it's common.
Dirk cannot think of anything to tell her. He just shuts up. He doesn't talk to her for a day straight. 30 hours or so later, as he steadfastly does not respond, Yu-Yu messages him and says she won't ask anymore, and that she's sorry to pry, and she mentions something else entirely she noticed, something unrelated. And he responds without mentioning the other thing. But it feels like a misstep. Some deeply uncool failed maneuver he attempted to cover a rotting something even deeper and uncooler. Dirk's only impressed that he got away with it. Yu-Yu drops that she's never met her ancestors or more of her species. Aside from her brother, Dirk figures. They seem to have that much in common. She says she often dreams of them, but that the dreams scare her, for reasons she doesn't elaborate on. She asks if it's the same with him. I don't think it would be. I don't really dream. I kind of just have the one dream. I'm always in a monochrome version of my apartment, in a monochrome version of old Houston, and too sleepy to actually do anything.
Really? Ooh.
Does that mean something to you?
Well, it's very interesting that you would dream of that particular thing.
Is it?
Are there other people in this purple Houston, for instance?
Yeah, on the streets. It's pre-diluvian. Not that I can talk to, though. I didn't mention a specific color.
Ah.
Which makes me think that whatever you think this means, in your esoteric worldview, isn't actually what's happening, because that's a weird-ass guess and it's not purple.
Really? I mean, yes, surely I understand that this is yet another instance of my more ludicrous-sounding claims to privileged knowledge over your existence, which you have historically, and quite reasonably, been skeptical of, so I hope you excuse my implication of some kind of jurisdiction.
It's not really a problem. I think I must be getting more out of this than you every time we have one of these incredibly weird conversations.
Yes, I do worry about that, huh?
But dreams are weird. I don't think anyone from Earth completely figured out what was going on with them. I don't think it's as interesting as you think, though.
Very well, then. Thank you for humoring me. So you have dreams of sleeping in your apartment, or a version thereof, in a city occupied by faraway people, in monochrome?
I guess. It's all kind of abstracted, but that is the gist of it.
And it's not purple.
I'm afraid not. Actually, would you excuse me for a minute?
Of course.
Dirk lies back in his chair and closes his eyes. He relaxes and imagines the red room in Dream Houston, the comforting red apartment of his mind. He'd be in bed, he thinks, on his back, a way he never sleeps in real life but always finds himself in his dream. He stares at the red ceiling. With great deliberation, trying his best to perform the action in both the dream world and waking, he slowly removes his shades. The ceiling is red. Ha, he thinks. To confirm, he lifts his weary head, just high enough to get a glimpse out the open frame window, just enough to see the built skyline without the tint of his shades. It's fucking purple. Dirk lays his head back down in the dream world. In the real world, he sits up and puts his shades back on. Outside, the shell of the world is cracking, just a little, without explaining itself or anything. Okay, what the fuck is going on? While he might otherwise gladly space out in it for days, Dirk now finds the purple-red room unsettling. He takes his glasses on and off and frowns at it, and so it wavers, whether he's here or there or nowhere. And he finds himself with headaches, sitting at his desk, disoriented with things like, "Talk to Roxy, you have to talk to Roxy every day," written in his terminal, the sun setting. So he ponies up and talks to Roxy. Every day he talks to Roxy, so far as he can manage it, doing his goddamn best. Faith is big, and it hurts. Sublimity is scarier than the top of the radio tower or the sharks in the rubble. When the world changes, it shifts this way and that without moving an inch, towering psychic waves over the psychic ocean, forever threatening to swallow him. The name of the ocean is Things Dirk Is Wrong About. He can't stop looking down at it, its strange colors, its troubled and hungry surface. Hey, you around? Have something to say to you.
Afternoon, darling. What can I do for you?
Roxy said you could talk to other people. Like, that you knew other people from old Earth. I'm kind of assuming from context clues that maybe they're tied into our destiny too, and that's why you can reach all of us. Though I can't fathom how or why it would shake out that way. Or maybe you're the thread tying us together. I have no idea. I don't expect you to confirm or deny this. Your cagey destiny reasons, and I need to know so bad that it's eating me, but whatever. I'm not going to pry. But if you can introduce me to them, I think I'm willing to stick around long enough to find out the regular way. That's my deal.
Oh, Dirk, I was going to introduce you anyway. You could have just said, "I'm ready now." Really, thank you for understanding, and for trusting me. I know well how difficult it is. To wait and work toward an unclear end with no guarantee that what you hope for will come to pass at all. Or if you'll have done enough. Though I clearly do have some knowledge of your future, I don't know everything, and much is still up to you. And of course, I can say very little. But Dirk, I think it's going to be worth it.
Thanks. Can you introduce me to the others?
Yes, let me get the link set up.
Wait.
Huh?
Wait, sorry, shit. I think I need another day.
That's fine.
Fuck, my bad.
Take as much time as you need.
Okay, gotcha.
And remember, I'm just speaking as a friendship strategist here. If you feel the situation merits otherwise, no need to hold back on account of the timeline. You can play it by ear.
I mean, I think if I told them the whole truth, they might just not believe me.
That is a distinct possibility.
All right. No, it makes sense. I can work with that.
Anything else on your mind?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm ready now. I feel ready.
Are you anxious?
I'm fucking terrified.
Don't be. My friends are lovely people. You don't have to be perfect for them. Just be yourself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thanks. Really. Uranian Umbra, UU, at NANA, opened memo on board.
New friends.
Gutsy Gumshoe, GG, responded to memo.
Hello.
Golgotha's Terror, GT, responded to memo.
Howdy, madams. What's the occasion?
I have someone to introduce you to. He's a friend of Roxy's.
Sure.
Any friend of you or Roxy is a friend of mine.
Add him already.
Timaeus testified, TT, responded to memo. Hello. The end. Written work posted July 2024. Audio recorded 2025. Thanks for listening.